Psalm chapter 1. We've talked about Psalm chapter 1 before. The Psalms are exciting. The Psalms are deliver us. Amen? The Psalms actually deliver you. Father, we thank you today for this word. We thank you for the ministry of the word of God. We thank you for the power of God that flows through your word. And Father, we thank you that it sets us free. It delivers us because it's your word. You are constantly speaking. You are constantly declaring. And through your word, your Holy Spirit ministers to us. It's a powerful miracle. It's a powerful daily occurrence that those of us who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit are transformed daily by your promises, by your word. Father, we have faith for that. We trust that. Father, we know that there is nothing that shall by any means hurt us and destroy us because we are born of God and we are born from above. And the living God is our strength. And the living God is our protector. The living God is our deliverer. And you have called us and bought us with a price. You've called us to a ministry of reconciliation. Each and every one of us who sit here today, who are filled with the living God, filled with His Holy Spirit, are called to that ministry of reconciliation to bring the world to the knowledge of the truth. And so, Father, we trust you that you, as we rise each day, that you are using us. And we give you praise for that. We acknowledge it daily as we rise, that you are moving in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. So we delight to come in and read your word together as a body and to receive from your Holy Spirit what you have for us today. And we give you praise and thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Whew, it's good. Amen. It's really good to get together and to share the word. Amen. And how many know that pastors aren't the only guys who can do that? Amen? Huh? Yeah. How many know that y'all can do that? Amen? You got the same Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Amen? Isn't that true? And, you know, there is, pastors get up and just share the word in one venue, but it doesn't preclude you, those who are filled with God's Spirit, from exhibiting and declaring what He has proclaimed and done in you. Amen? This is what this is all about. Amen. Some of the Baptist churches, I've seen predominantly in a Baptist church on the door on the way out, right on the side of the door is a sign that says you're entering the mission field as you're exiting the building. Amen? It's true. Pastor goes out the back door. That's the people are going out the other door. He says, "Yeah, you are entering the mission field," and it's absolutely true. I mean, what did Jesus command his disciples to do? Go ye into all the world. And Jesus was, you can't go where I'm going. Well, where are you going? Wait a minute. He said, where I'm going, you cannot go, but you go into all the world and preach the good news. How many of you have good news to preach? I'm serious. I mean, sometimes you get off into the weeds, like, going to hell and stuff like that. Some folks, they get off into that, How many know that doesn't really bring a lot of takers, Start out on the street corner, Repent, sinner, you're going to hell. Well, you just keep walking. But people respond to what? They respond to the love. It's His kindness. It's your kindness. The kindness of God that leads to repentance. That is His loving kindness. That loving kindness which says, I came to redeem that and save that which was lost. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? I came to save and seek and to save that which was lost. And you know what? That's your same ministry, isn't it? Is I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So when I get up and walk out the door and walk into the public place, my eyes are, that's the eyes of God in and through me, in and through you, are seeking to save that which is lost. It's interesting. When Paul came into Athens, the city of Athens, his heart was just, you know, grieved at all the people who were just worshiping any kind of thing that moved or didn't move. You know, and he took the opportunity to speak to them about the tomb of the unknown God. You know, said, you know, this guy, this unknown God that you're talking about, the one that you're afraid that you've missed, so you just put one to kind of a catch-all. He says, yeah, I know him. That's what we want to do, is introduce people to the living God who loves them. Amen? Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what we want to do? That's really the ministry that you have, is to introduce people to the living God who actually loves them. He's not mad. Everybody say, God's not mad. He's even, you know, if people read the Old Testament and read the kind of the end of the book, you know, the wrath of God. Well, that's against sin. That's not against people. Huh? That's against sin. It's not against people. Amen. So that's powerful. Amen? God's good. God's good. Let's see. That's who we are. And this is part of what we, this is part of what makes us what we are. This particular psalm, Psalm 1, it's the best psalm. I mean, to be Psalm number 1, this is really great. Amen? I mean, it starts out with the word happy. Blessed. Blessed are the people. Amen? Happy is the man. What a great way to begin. You know, rather than, you know, oh God, you know, why do you hate me? How many know when those psalms come up, that's the soul? That's the soul crying out. You know, it's not, David doesn't even expect that God hates him. Anybody know that? You know, David does not expect that God is hating him. He's just expressing his soul. He's expressing his the struggle in his soul. The one that's, remember, in Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about that struggle in the soul. The things that I want to do, I can't do. That's the things that are born of the Spirit, and it's weak in the flesh. And the things that I don't want to do, because I'm still walking in this body and this mind that has not been renewed, those are the things I end up doing. Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? And David is expressing that same dismay with his weakness in the body. It's kind of like, oh, Lord, you know, how long is this going to take? How long is this going to take? But what he wants you to do is, be encouraged. Don't look at yourself in the flesh. You are not in the flesh. If the Spirit of the living God dwells in you, how many of the Spirit of the living God dwells in you? How many of you are not in the flesh? The same sentence, come on. You are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, yeah, but I did something the other day. I was looking and... No, stop that stuff. Go according to the Word of God. Don't go according to what you're looking at. Does it mean you did not sin? No, that doesn't mean that. But what that means is that's not what you're looking at. You're looking at what God did. Amen? I seem to repeat myself a lot. Amen. But this is true. That's just the heart of God, is that once that curtain was rent, you had full access into the presence of God. Come on in. You know, the priest got in there and sewed that thing up real quick. You know, get back in business. You know, well, can't do that. Who did that? Well, they had a little investigation. It was done from the top to the bottom. God did that. He did it himself. He said, enough of this. He'd been waiting for that. Don't you know God had been waiting for that? You know he'd been waiting for that ever since Genesis chapter 3? When he promised that the head of the serpent would be crushed by the seed of the woman? He'd been waiting for that ever since then. Then all the way in the fullness of time, that curtain, God, you know, Jesus was born of a virgin. He took all of our sins upon himself, and he brought us into the presence of God. And that was so we get to enjoy that presence of God. You know, and I know we do, and so many times, but again, just to get you delivered out of that thing that wastes your time, that wastes a lot of time, is guilt, condemnation, and trying to figure out what's going on, and why do I still sin? Because you still got one of these, but God is growing you up. is growing you up. You know, as Pastor Jim has said in the past, you know, it's you sin, you begin to sin less often and less stridently or with less confidence because the love of God is in your heart. The love of God causes you to repent quicker. Amen? And so that God can use you quicker. Because if the enemy can get you under condemnation and guilt, he can do that. Some people, he can do that for years. Some people, he can do that for the rest of their life because of something that they did. So I want you to just release whatever it is you think you did, whatever it is you did do. And I want you to receive the forgiveness of God today. It doesn't mean you don't have to go. God will not prompt you to go and make some restitution, whether verbally or whether in written form. You don't know what the Lord may do. But again, it's not going to be born out of guilt. It's going to be born out of you hearing the Holy Spirit. Because many people attempt to resolve their guilt by just doing something in the flesh. No. Your job, first of all, is to receive forgiveness. The forgiveness of God for whatever it is that you did. First of all, every sin is between you and God. Every sin is between you and God. It's not between you and the other person. So you receive that redemption. And then you let the Holy Spirit lead you, guide you. Amen? It may be children. It may be mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, employers, co-workers. It could be any number of circumstances. Pastors, former pastors, church members, former friends, it doesn't look like your friends anymore. Amen. And so let the Holy Spirit guide you, and then just do what He says. Not because He's mad if you don't, but if you do what He says, happy are you. Amen. Obedience brings glory. It doesn't bring, God's finally happy with me. God was happy with you anyway. Obedience is so that you are enjoying the fullness of walking in the power of God and the holiness of God. Amen? Amen? See, obedience is not like God standing over you with a stick saying, you better, now that you're in my house, you're going to obey. But no. Obedience is, that's joy. Amen? Does anybody understand that? Obedience is joy. It's like, you know, when your parent tells you don't run across the street without looking at the light. You know, could be an unfortunate incident. Amen. It's like when I told my children don't do this or do this or don't do that. You know, well, there were some consequences too when they disobeyed. And it wasn't me. I didn't consequent them. I just tried to let them know that something's coming. It always comes. I wasn't predicting it. I wasn't putting it on them. It's just, this is it. This is how things work. Amen? Don't do that. Anyway. I don't have anything to drop. What's that called? Thank you. See, when you get gravity, there's something you generally know what's going to happen, right? And especially as a person who has lived a few years, you kind of generally know what's going to happen, you know. And I hear young parents all the time who are talking about, yeah, my kid ain't going to do what I did. Well, praise the Lord. You tell them, you teach them, and you show them, you know. But I can't guarantee that they're not, you know. Some will, some won't. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, hallelujah. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. Happy. The word makarioi is happy. Happy is the man. That's the word blessed in the. And so, blessed is the man. I gave you that in the Greek, actually. It's not the Hebrew word, sorry. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, watch this part. Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Happy is the man. Now, you got three lines here, right? You got three lines here, three things. Happy is the man, and then it gives three things. Okay, so you want to, it's written right there, but sometimes it's good to maybe write them down or make a note of the fact that there are three distinct items here. How many read the Bible and you read it to get through the reading? Anybody done that? That's the reading. It's the Bible reading for the day. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. God's happy. Check that off. Amen. Bible study is good to do slowly. You know, it's better to not read the whole Bible at once. Yeah, in other words, maybe in a year. But slow down. God's not into speed reading. Amen. Your kids may be into speed reading. You know, Dad, hurry. Yeah. But what you want to do is slow down. I mean, granted, you can have a Bible reading, but then have another one that is a slow one. Another one that the Lord is using to build you up and to strengthen you and to encourage you and to kind of break open the Word of God and to make a cake out of it, you know, and to make something transforming in your daily life, in your walk. Blessed is the man that walks not in these things, in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So it's interesting that it starts out with the negative, is saying, blessed is the man who does not do these things. Now I find it interesting that what's the first verb in that scripture? Anybody notice the first verb? Blessed is the man who walks, okay? Not in the counsel of the ungodly. What would the counsel be? What would counsel be? C-O-U-N-S-E-L. Speaking. They're speaking. Their advice. Their view. Their overview of the circumstances and the situations at hand. Anybody done that? You know, you got friends who are more than willing to share their opinion. But they're not. God, they have no relationship with God. They say, "Oh, I had one of those happen. One of my kids did that, and you know what I did." You know, you have people who are willing to offer advice all the time. But for you, happy are you? God says, it's so good that God will tell you what the result will be if you avoid these three things. So happy are you if you, first of all, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. So you're walking not in those. Don't take that counsel and take it to heart. You may hear it, but take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Some people have wisdom just because they got beat up too. Amen. So I'm not saying that. But I am telling you is that counsel is tainted by flesh. It's a response from a fleshly viewpoint, a fleshly fix for a problem. And of course, you know, especially I'll tell you, when you have kids, you've got all kinds of people giving you all kinds of advice. You have all kinds of people who have opinions, and you know, it's like, you remember, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. And so what you want to make sure is you're hearing the opinion, is taking that opinion to the Holy Spirit. Say, God, is this any good? You know, first of all, you just want to go to God. Now granted, you know, sometimes God's hard to hear. Anybody kind of feel that way? God's kind of. I took it to God, but then Joe down at the auto shop had something else to say. And granted, in the Old Testament, we have a lot of people who were not necessarily godly people who actually were used of God to direct people to God. So watch this now. We have the first verb is what? To walk. Now, read the next portion. He says, nor stands in the way of sinners. Now, how does standing differ from walking? Huh? Being still. Or I was walking and now I have stopped. So the counsel of the ungodly is you're walking along and somebody is giving you some counsel and you, all of a sudden you just turn aside. And you stop. And you stand. Stands. Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way or the path or the path of sinners, ungodly sinners, ungodly, same group. So happy is the man, you don't stop to turn aside to partake and to consider that advice. Amen? So, many times what, you know, and this is the reason I think this just comes out to me is that I've experienced it, and so I'm just sharing it with you, is that you're walking along, you hear something, then you stop, all of a sudden it sounds like a little bit of a something that kind of gets your attention, and you stop. You're no longer following God directly, but you have now stopped because we're talking about the ungodly. And then finally, so I walked, I stood, and then finally, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So basically, you're just slowing down and stopping. Anybody ever done that? You're basically walking along, following God, but then you hear something that from the world, some advice, some counsel from the world that slows you down, gets you to stand still, and then all of a sudden you have quit moving. In fact, you just decided to camp there. And so I believe this is what the Holy Spirit is talking about, is the fact that you have slowed down from walking to standing to now you're sitting. And that you've begun now taking counsel from the world rather than the counsel that is from the Holy Spirit. Amen? He says, happy are you if you don't do that. Happy are you if you don't do that. Let's read the whole thing. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So it's a progression, isn't it? It's a progression of departing from the counsel of God. Happy are you if you don't do that. Verse 2 begins with the word, but, or rather, on the other hand, however, blessed is the man that when his delight is in the law of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. In his law does he meditate day and night. So, the meditation, oh, how I love your law. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So that meditation, that thinking, meditation is not weird. Meditation is just consideration. So basically, even the first verse that we were discussing is you begin to meditate on what the world is saying, what the counsel of the ungodly is, or you begin to meditate, go directly to verse 2 and meditate on what God said. Now, you may have heard something in the counsel of the ungodly that piqued your interest, but you immediately take it to the Word of God, and you line them up. You let the Word of God, you pray, and asking it because you can't even line them up together. You don't know how to do that. But the Holy Spirit will do that for you. Amen? He will show you which way to go. He will show you the direction to go. He may not show you immediately. Anybody ever been there? You know, it's like, okay, then don't do anything. Don't fix it. Don't fix it yet. Don't fix it today. Well, I've got to fix it. No, you don't have to fix it. Just because somebody says you have to fix it doesn't mean you have to fix it today. Amen? I mean, just because man says you have to fix it today doesn't mean you have to fix it today. Amen. Well, somebody went to the hospital and we had to make a decision. I understand all that. The Holy Spirit will show you. Amen. Somebody can always come up with a thing against it, and I'll always acknowledge somebody's always going to come up with an argument after the sermon that says, well, yeah, we had this thing. You know, the Holy Spirit will lead you. Amen. You know, I'll stop your argument right now. Is that you cannot say that God will not care for you, take care of you, show you. Even if you do nothing, you just cry out, God will take care of you. Well, that person died. Is God in control or not? Yes, He is. Did He know that person was going to die? Yes, He did. Are you rejoicing? Are you resting? Listen, you are born of God. You belong to Him. Rest in His love for you. Amen? Individually, personally. Don't discount the love of God and the promise of God based on your experience. Your experience is not God. Amen? People just want to argue. They want to be hurt. But the enemy wants them to hate God and be angry with God because of a circumstance. God said He loves you, and He does. And He has redeemed you by His blood, by His promise. Walk in thanksgiving. No matter what the circumstance may be. Listen. Well, no matter what the circumstance appears to be. There's one right there you're thinking of. I want you to rejoice in that right there. In that one right there. Rejoice that God loves you. And He loves the person you're thinking about. And so you cannot allow and walk in joy. You cannot allow the circumstance that the enemy is bringing up as an example of God's faithlessness. Isn't that true? Anybody ever come across God's faithlessness? Here's where he missed it. The enemy wants to use your mind. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, the same chapter we began with. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, the faithlessness of God. Did God say? So the enemy, he has only one tool to bring you into doubt. To doubt the love of your Father who created you and created the entire garden for you. The entire creation was built for you. You may eat of any of the trees of the garden. But this one right here, don't do that one. Just the one. I'm recommending that you just kind of steer clear of that one. To give you the choice to believe me or not, which God does. He gives you the choice to believe Him or not. He'd at least provide one tree. So you could say, nah, I'm going to go for the one. Go for the one tree that God said. Yeah, there's 50 million trees. Whatever. Entire orchard. I don't know how big the garden was, but, could have been as big as the whole country of Iran. Don't know. Mesopotamia. Between the two rivers. Could have been just between the two rivers. There could be a lot of trees. There's no trees there now, unless they planted them. Because, that place is desert. That place is a disaster because of what we do, because of sin. Now, but all those trees, God said, go ahead, you can eat of any of these trees. But there's one guy who says, hey, come here. See this tree? He only had one tree to sell. Yeah, it's like the devil had one tree. This is my tree. It's like a guy coming into town, the snake oil sales. Oh, it's funny. The snake oil salesman. The snake tree salesman. And he's, hey, like my tree? It's like he almost carried it in. He adopted the tree and said, that should tell you something right there. The guy that's wrapped himself around the tree that God said don't eat, he's selling it. Yeah. Psst, psst. Honey, come over here. I'm going to show you this tree. Wasn't that the tree that God said don't eat of? So praise the Lord. Are you free? Huh? Amen. God loves you. And the people you minister to, He loves you. Okay, now. So, don't listen. Happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. You become scornful if you sit. If you're listening to the counsel of the ungodly and you're standing in the way of the sinners and you're just like standing right there with them and in their little group, and then all of a sudden you begin to sit, what happens to you? Become scornful. You become that. You become that anger, that disappointment, that faithlessness. You become that. You ever notice that? You sit there long enough, you just become that. You sit in the word of the devil long enough, the word of this world long enough, and you just become scornful and angry at everything. Anybody notice that? I mean, just within yourself, you've got that flesh that just, it just begins to get wound up at everything. Rather than everything being, oh, God will handle it. Everything is, oh, there it goes again. Anybody ever notice that? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just, it's just me. It's just that things, the more you allow the enemy to whisper in your ear and to kind of hang out with his tree, the longer, more that you just develop a scornful attitude, an angry attitude. Everything is wrong. Not everything is right, everything is wrong. Anybody know Christians like that? Everything is wrong? You know, you come to church with them, they tell you everything that's wrong. How's it going? Oh, here, let me make you a list. Let's go for coffee. Let's go for lunch. Come to my house. Oh my gosh. You don't want to do that. All of a sudden, what you want to do is just you run away, or if you're mature, you begin to build them up and give them the Word of God and you begin to tell them about verse 2. You begin to tell them that, hey, it's important that your delight be not in the... Basically, people, have you noticed people are delighting in scornfulness? That's basically what they're doing. They're delighting in their opportunity to express their anger at people, at things, at the Word of God, at God's promise, at, you know, the fact that in their opinion, in their mind, that God did not do what He promised He would do. So, I mean, Peter says God is not slack concerning His promise. Amen? So I'm going according to what God said through Peter. He says He's not slack concerning His promise. He didn't forget His promise. He's working everything. Romans 8:28 says what? He is working some things together for my good. No, He's working all things together for my good. Because you're in Romans 8, all of a sudden you've been delivered from the body of this death, and that you're walking in, that you're no longer walking in the flesh, in the sense that you're not having hope in the flesh. Amen? That's what that's talking about, is that, you know, there's therefore now no condemnation to those of us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's not saying you're not sinning. What it's saying is your hope and your confidence is not in the flesh. If you're walking with your hope and confidence in the Spirit and the work of God on the inside of you, then there's no condemnation. But have you noticed that if you have confidence in the flesh or the failure of the flesh that you had confidence in, that's where condemnation is. Develops, doesn't it? Well, I thought I was going to do better. I thought so-and-so was going to do better. So either you're condemning somebody else or you're condemning yourself. Because you had confidence in the flesh. You believed that flesh could perform. There's no condemnation for those of us who walk according to the Spirit. Amen? Because remember Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you. We ought to make a song out of that. Amen? Sin shall not have dominion over you. Reckon yourselves, therefore, dead unto sin and alive unto God. So, you're in here, not walking according to the flesh, but your delight is not in declaring the bad things that are happening and how God failed and didn't show up. And again, I know by and large, we walk with expressing the joy of the Lord. But I'm talking about that thing that rises up on the inside of your soul. Anybody know? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. I'm not going to ask it. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. That thing on the inside of your soul. That's chair 5. I don't even have any chairs. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Is chair 5, where that suffering in the flesh comes in and you are writing that off and say, no, I'm following the joy of the Lord. I'm not walking according to the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. In fact, you're moving on to chair 6. And then you kind of flow back and forth from 4, 5, 6, 5, 4, 5, 6, 4, 6, 5. That is really where you basically live, as chairs 4, 5, and 6 as a believer. Is, you know, you're walking in faith, and then all of a sudden something comes up, and you're suffering in the flesh. But you know what suffering in the flesh is as much as suffering through a circumstance, is suffering through saying no. In the name of Jesus, I'm blessed and redeemed, and all things are going my way. That is suffering. That's suffering. It's saying those words in the middle of a horrible circumstance in anybody else's mind. Huh? Saying those things. And then dealing with that little voice on the back of your head that says, no, it ain't. No, everything's going downhill. That's the suffering. Is that crash together of flesh and spirit, because the spirit is informing, your soul against what the flesh is saying. And so, I'm going to believe God. My delight is in the promise of God, the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is how things is. Without looking at what's happening in the world to the contrary. Isn't that true? The law of the Lord is how things are from the perspective of God and the perspective of the believer in the walking in the Spirit. That's the law of the Lord. He wrote it down in the Pentateuch, in the Torah. He wrote it down. But what it is a declaration of how things are. What's true? In the United States, we call it the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It's how things are. So my delight is in the law of the Lord, not in the counsel of the ungodly. My delight is in the law of the Lord, to the contrary of everything else that's been suggested and spoken in the world. My delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law does he, that is the man, woman, believer, in that law does he meditate both day and night, to the contrary of the law of the world. And what's the result? He shall be. Say it. Everybody say that with me. He shall be. He might be. He could be. No. It says, he shall be. The one who is delighting himself in the law of the Lord, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Interesting, there's three more things that we can talk about. Three. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that, number one, brings forth fruit how often? Every afternoon at 3? Brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither. Okay, we got fruit and then we got a leaf. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. Okay, hold on to that for a minute. Look over at Isaiah chapter 61. Verses 1 through 3. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Okay, I don't hear any pages, but I guess you can't hear your iPhone turning the page, can I? Isaiah 61, chapter 1 through 3. Prophetic scripture referring to the Lord, but then also those who are in the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is of God. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, those who are submitted to Him, and He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and comfort all that mourn. Now watch. Look at verse 3. To appoint unto them in Zion that mourn, or to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for their mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be, listen to this now, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. To appoint unto them, verse 3, that mourn in Zion, they mourn, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for that mourning, crying, the garment of praise to clothe them for the spirit of heaviness that they're wearing today, so that they might be called, what? Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Okay? Now, we talked about this tree here in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, and then, of course, there in chapter Isaiah 61, verse 3, we're talking about that trees of those trees of righteousness, and that's the same tree. That's you. That's the man who delights himself in the law of the Lord, the man, the woman, the boy, and girl, who delight themselves in the Lord, that they shall be like this tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And again, let's look at those three statements within that verse. And he shall be planted like a tree, planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season. That's in the fullness of time. Fruit may not come every afternoon at 3. Fruit may come as it's necessary, as it's needed. Amen? As it's needed. Because how many know that fruit is not for you, fruit is for others? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, temperance. All of these fruit are not for you. You know, you're the tree and you're eating your own fruit. That wouldn't be good. But somebody else will come along and they'll see that fruit on you and they'll pick that fruit and they'll enjoy that. Because you are a tree that bears fruit that is, remember in Revelation, the tree of life is the leaves of which are for the what? Healing of the nations. But that's what you are. You're a tree that bears fruit. Now, so he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither. So you may, there are seasons that you don't have fruit, or fruit is not apparent, but your leaf never withers. Your leaf never withers. You're always green. Say, I'm always green. I hate to make people do that. People don't like that sometimes. Yeah. Say this. I don't want to say it. No. But your leaf never withers. But that's all, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that your leaf never withers. You know, you're never without green. You know, my lawn is without green. I got a guy named Gecko Green who's supposed to come and be putting stuff on my lawn. I think it may be, but it's like the Lord, you know. He may have just gotten rid of all my weeds, and all I had was weeds. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I just had weeds, and so he killed them all. So, God, what do you do now? I thought it was green, but it was weeds. There's a whole other sermon. Look, it's all green. God says, yeah, but it's brambles and thistles and thorns and, you know, looks green. Just don't walk on it. It'll, with bare feet. We used to have a lawn like that. When I was a little kid, I'd walk out on the lawn, you know, it's all nice and green. And I remember what we called stickers. I don't know what y'all call them. We called them stickers. Those little ball-shaped things with all the spines on them, you know. And I mean, and they'd be all over your pant legs, you know, when you'd come in. Or, if you went out there in bare feet, I mean, oh, Mom! And you couldn't even move. You actually couldn't even walk back to the house. Huh? Because you're just forcing them deeper into you. Sorry. You're remembering this now that I'm saying it, aren't you? Is, you'll walk out of here today going, oh. Is that your feet are just, you know, you're in distress and you got to have God come get you out of the middle of that sticker patch. You ever notice that? You know, you walked out on the middle of that thing and, help, get me out of here. And God does that. All right, now. And then finally, so its leaf shall not wither. Your leaf doesn't wither. Thank God. Your leaf does not wither. It doesn't. I'm always green. Always green. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always the power of God is always in me. Amen. So quit looking at your lack of fruit and just look to the Lord. In His law does He meditate day and night. And then finally, it says, and whatsoever He does shall prosper. What a promise. What a promise. Again, that's a promise. So whatsoever He does shall prosper. Doesn't look like I'm prospering. Well, you don't get to look. You don't get to decide what prosperity is. Amen? Now, of course, you know, obviously, you know, you should have enough food to eat. You should have a roof over your head, you know. But prospering is kind of nebulous for the idea of what prospering is to a lot of people. You know, they're bound up by what they want or got to have. You know, it's not wrong to have it, just as long as it doesn't take up all your time, especially once you got it. Amen? I can see that. I could see all kinds of things that would just be just a disaster for me to have. I mean, just, you know, I have a hard enough time keeping up with the peddling with the things I've got. You know, much less having other entertainment. We got so much entertainment here. Amen? I mean, it's just like, you know, that's why people don't come to 5-6 week revivals at church anymore. We were having some meetings this week over at our ministry fellowship, and one of the brothers who got named Charlie Rogers, who back in the 60s, I mean, they would go around and they would have, and he was just a little guy. I mean, he wasn't like one of the Billy Graham guys or Kenneth Hagin. He was like one of the little guys. And they'd still go around to a church and they'd have a meeting that would last, you know, weeks. You know, have a meeting that would last 6 weeks. I mean, we did that as early as late as the 80s. I don't remember the 80s doing it. Maybe the 70s. Did we? Okay, well. And I'm telling you, yeah, that's true. Let's talk about that. No. I'm going to sit down and have a talk about that. All right, now. But now we have a meeting for a night or two. Why? Because nobody shows up. Nobody shows up. But why? Because we're so busy. Our lives are so busy. Amen? All of these things going on. All right, let's get to the end of this. Now, look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so. They're not like that. With as the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in the season, leaf not withering and prospering. The ungodly are not so. Now remember that ungodly from verse 4? He's also the same ungodly in verse 1. The result of the ungodly is not verse 3. What's the result of the ungodly? Read on, verse 4. The ungodly are not like those that delight themselves in the law of the Lord and meditate in it day and night. But they are like this. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. The waste from the harvesting of the grain. You know, when they used to take that fork and throw the grain up, the grain was heavier than the dust and the chaff. So when the wind would hit it, you do it on a day that's got a little bit of a wind and a little bit of a breeze, and you throw that up, and the wheat comes down, and it's right there where you are, but the chaff blows off the other way. So that's the ungodly. They're not the wheat that stays. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away, blows away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. You remember what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 7. He said, at the last day, he says, you know, those of you who did all these things, you claim you did all these things in my name, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you. It says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the ungodly shall perish. So, taking this entire psalm is to walk in the counsel of the ungodly et al., is to put yourself in the company of those who at the end of the day, do not enjoy the presence of the Lord and the power of God and the joy of the Lord in living. But they're the ones who have now depended upon the word of this world to try to make themselves acceptable in the sight of God. How much of churchianity is people trying to make themselves acceptable in the sight of God? I mean, that's the religion of the world. The religion of the world is really odd, because the devil knows that man can never make himself acceptable in the sight of God. But as long as he can get you to believe that and walk that way and live your life out that way, even those who are, you know, 90% almost in their thinking and walking, unbelievers, that last 10% is somebody always thinking, well, I should be okay if I just make a net positive. You know, if I try to overwhelm my evil by maybe 1 or 2%, and kind of get a 2%, I can barely squeak in. Not at all. Doesn't work that way. You can't do anything. Okay? It's the presence of God. To walk and to live in the presence of God for eternity is to do one thing, is to receive the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, if you'll take that and you'll utilize that and you'll talk about that, that's all people need to know. You know, you're not trying to get them to quit sinning so that they can get into heaven. Not at all. Huh? Please. You know, all right, if you'll straighten up, then God will receive you. Wrong! Did that get on the tape, or whatever we have these days? On the digital recording? No, it's not you straightening up, it's you receiving a gift by faith. Now, God's going to change. God will change you. Oh, no, you know, I don't want that. Well, that's a different issue. Forget that. Do you want to not die? Do you want to live forever? Okay, I got an easy solution for you. Just receive Jesus. Most people, you know, they kind of like that idea. Yeah. People like living forever as long as they don't have to die. Yeah, I got news for you. Everybody's going that way. If Jesus hesitates, you know, this body is going to go away. Amen? Isn't that right? George Washington is no longer here. He's no longer president. Why? Because he's dead. All my grandparents, all of it, yeah, I'm checking, because I had grandparents for a while. I think they're all gone. They all died. They're all buried. You know what? In 50 years, unless I live to 120, okay, 75 years. In 75 years, I'll be gone if Jesus tarries. It's just going to happen. How many of you, in 100 years, you'll probably be dead? None of you? Wow, you got faith. It's not based on the Word of God either. I don't know what you got faith in science. Faith in modern medicine. It'll just freeze you, wake you up when there's a cure. You could invest in something. I've got some stock I can sell you in something like that. My grandfather bought some stock in some kind of a company. What was it? It was a sterilization program for the Chinese. I said, dear God, I got to sell that. Give that away. Never went anywhere. You can buy all kinds of stock and all kinds of things. I think you need to buy stock and buy the stock that is in Jesus. Amen? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. God is good. I was going to look at one more thing, but I don't know if I will. Everybody write down Psalm 138. Write it down on the corners of your mind. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise to you. In other words, all the other guys, before all the other gods, make them mad, I will sing praise to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified your word above all of your name. Isn't that crazy? I thought the name was everything. It's his word that's everything. He's magnified his word, his promise, above his name. Last verse of that is Janet's favorite verse, is verse 8. It says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Say that with me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Then it ends up, then it finishes, your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of your own hands. That's us. Amen. Father, we just give you praise for this word today. We thank you. I thank you that your word does not go out void, but it accomplishes that for which you sent it. So I thank you that that we're encouraged today. I know I am. Encouraged today by the word of God and by the promise that happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight. At the beginning of this new year, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law do we meditate day and night. And we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And we give you praise and thanks for it. Encourage us today as we go from this place. Encourage us and build us up according to your promise that we do not believe in the flesh, but we believe in what you have accomplished in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Everybody said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to the name of Jesus. Father, we magnify your name today. We give you glory and thanks. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.